Thank you very much. Assembly, how are we feeling? Do we want to ask questions or do we need a break for a moment? Or I'm feeling like we can push on here. Okay. Anyone want to start us off with questions? I've got a bunch, but if someone else. All right.
I can start with one.
Well, I'll ask one to start. Dr. Vastola, you mentioned. I think you said it. The sliding scale for fees is at community. I wrote down community health center status.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we do that now?
Okay, so the question is to Dr. Vastola. During his presentation, he mentioned a sliding scale for fees, and this was implemented at every facility that Search operates except Sitka, where people at 200% or less of the poverty level paid from $5 up per visit, regardless of ethnicity or insurance status. That's just how they were billed. How does that work, and why don't we have that here?
It's a complex question. To qualify as a community health center, to get funding from HRSA to develop a community health center, you have to be a medically underserved community. Sitka is not, by definition, a medically underserved community. You can, with help from the legislation, define a medically underserved population or a subpopulation. So maybe, you know, fishermen or seafood plant workers or others. It'd be very difficult to do. Now, as an existing grantee under the program, though, Search could pursue funding to augment that program to include Sitka, even though it is not a medically underserved community. So a new agency who was not already a recipient of that funding stream could not do it. Search could. We have not done it. You know, they want you to be successful from a business standpoint, too. They're not just giving you a chunk of money to serve people. They fully expect that if they give you money, that you use that money to leverage other funding. So you are expected to, you know, aggressively go after insured patients and other types of patients as well, so that their money becomes part of something which is broader and more financially sustainable. So that was an area that we never wanted to, you know, approach in the community.
Okay, thanks. So would this proposal help in this matter? Like, would it be possible to, or more likely that this could happen in Sitka if the proposal went forward, or does it really immaterial to that?
I feel it would be significantly more likely that we would be able to get funding. Again, it's a little bit of an uphill battle because the community is so well served by medical professionals, but it can be done.
Okay. Thank you.
This can be to both of you. You'd mentioned that 50% of Search's patients were non-native in the last year, and that 70% of Sitkins had received services. I don't know how to delicately put this, but it's been brought to my attention over and over again, and I think I know the answer, but in timeliness of service, is ethnicity a factor?
No, I think, you know, when someone calls to make an appointment, you know, when I call to make an appointment, it's just the person on the end of the line.
If we're in a triage or an emergency situation?
No. Ethnicity, you know, if you walk into the ER, you are going to get seen, you know, based on the level of care that you need. I mean, a lot of people that walk into the ER, I think I'll let Dave explain it just because he's a doctor. It'll carry a little bit more weight how the ER works between ER and urgent care when people walk in after hours and someone skips to the head of the line for what reason. So mm-hmm. Maybe you could.
Well, patients in the emergency room are triaged on a standardized protocol from a level 1 to a level 5. Level 1 being the most severe. We take care of the sickest patients first, plain and simple. Patients are colorless, you know, and a unless they're covered with blood, then I guess they're. But no, I mean it's not a factor in getting an appointment with me for a well baby check or being seen in the emergency room. It's simply not an issue.
I wish that we could say that more clearly, but that's about as clearly as it can be said. So I hope that the people who keep asking me that question have gotten a solid answer from that.
I will tell you on the flip side, since we've covered some history here, I've had the opposite question come to me from our beneficiary population, where some of the communities where we started seeing non-natives, and the rural communities typically had the clinic was kind of a social place. People would go, they get seen. They really didn't necessarily have appointments. Well, we started getting patients in who had appointments, and they'd come in, be their appointment time, and they would get seen. And it would be, hey, why'd that person go in front of me? It's like, that person went in front of you because they had an appointment and you didn't. And that's the way the scheduling rules work. And it's the same set of rules for every patient, whether it's scheduling a routine appointment or receiving emergency care. We treat everybody the same. There is the rare, rare exception when we have some specialists from Alaska Native Medical Center. They're in very, very infrequently, and their preference, their mandate is to see our Native beneficiary patients first. That is why historically we have supplemented those services with other providers. So we knew our current level of orthopedic service from ANMC was grossly inadequate. So we hired a half-time orthopedist. Now we don't need them at all, and we could see whoever we want to see, however we want to see them. The same with neurology. For years, we had problems getting patients in to see the neurologist because they came in frequently. So we hired a private neurologist from Seattle who came up regularly to see patients. We really tried to make the playing field as equitable as possible.
Thank you very much.
So this question kind of dovetails a little bit off of maybe the sentiment of where Bob's coming from here. Anecdotes are interesting, and for me, they just drive. Anecdotes just drive my curiosity for more data. And when we're talking about the that wheel that you had in the employer of choice or, service delivery or other things like that, I'd like to hear a little bit more about how you measure some of those things. And in particular, I would like to hear, do you have a system in which you objectively measure how your employee satisfaction is? And it sounds like you have one for your patient satisfaction. but I would like to hear more if you do have something on employee satisfaction, because you did say that it's something that you're very, very interested in changing and developing. And if there isn't anything, are you planning on something for when you do assume a large number of people into your system?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Knox. I guess I got a couple thoughts came to my mind on your question. I think for us, a couple of the benchmark measures that we regularly manage is employee turnover. And average length of service. Those are all objective measures, so we know what our turnover rate is, and we appreciate the cost that we incur in high employee turnover. So we monitor that. But, as Dr. Vestola said, we also, we monitor the average length of service. It's a little bit different than, I think, the employee satisfaction, the last one we did, and this kind of gets down a little bit of a rabbit hole. The term now is what we call, or what they call, I don't call it anything, but it's deemed employee engagement, how engaged your employees are in the organization. And that's a survey we had done a couple years ago as a benchmark survey. It is fairly expensive. We don't do it every year. I think the idea is that we do it every year. And then on the off years, we also do pay benchmarking against similar pay positions. So we're basically measuring employee engagement, and then we're measuring, we're doing employee compensation surveys. So we make sure we're staying up to the market with our peers, not our competitors, our peers. And so those are a couple items that we do measure. You know, the patient satisfaction is something that, again, you know, as I mentioned, something that we've worked very diligently on over time. And when you come to search, when you get seen by, or when your children get seen by Dr. Vestola, when you leave, there should be an iPad at the door. And it's a survey that's administered right on the spot of your own, you know, you decide you want to take it. And we've found that to be the best way. You know, we've done mail outs, we've done online, and what really, quite frankly, happens is we just don't get the response level to be scientifically valid. The idea is to get enough surveys so that they're valid, and that's those are how we handle a couple of those things.
And Mr. Knox's question was kind of along my lines, but I don't think my part necessarily was answered on there. Understand that there is employee engagement and different factors that you can use to rate employee happiness there, but I never did hear the answer. Do you feel that your employees are happy? Has any of the metrics shown that you have happy employees, or is your excessive turnover, and I'm not saying you have excessive turnover, but do you see any of the metrics that indicate that your employees may not be happy at the facility? It's concerning to me because if we do shift over a large amount of Sitka Community Hospital employees where they may or may not be currently happy, I want to make sure that they're going into an inviting, welcoming environment where they will want to stay as opposed to be one of your turnover statistics within a short time.
You know, I'm going to actually ask Dr. Vestola to answer that. I mean, the short answer is, do I have a tool that can objectively tell me if our employees at Search are happy? No, I do not. That's the short answer. But I think it's a little, if you'll indulge me, I think, you know, Dr. Vestola has been here 29 years. He could probably speak to the general mood and tenor of the organization with probably some objectivity.
Morale, I'm teachable. Morale, like most things, waxes and wanes. And, you know, I've certainly seen times when the employee workforce as a whole seemed happier than others. I think the organization during my decades here has been very good about periodically putting out employee satisfaction surveys. Those are really broken down into department as best can be done. You know, if you're a department of three, there's a little danger of breaking it down too much and then showing the manager the results. But they're very departmental specific, and then they, you know, they try to, they're very detailed surveys, and they try to engage the workforce in deciding how to address the items at the top of the list, the things that make them most unhappy. You know, ironically, some of the problems end up coming back to what we were talking about at the very beginning with, you know, recruitment and that type of thing. If you're being overworked because, you know, you're one of four positions and we chronically can't fill that third one, then filling the third position, the fourth position is what's going to make that person happier. Or if you have a department that's constantly being filled by travelers who come in, have to be oriented, leave, you start all over again, that degrades your employee satisfaction. So, I mean, it's obviously multifactorial. Salary and reimbursement obviously is often at the top of the list. The organization has committed to doing regular surveys where we look at objective data from state and the region and the nation and make sure we're paying people fairly. We have made some significant adjustments in employee salaries based on those. Can we keep everybody happy? You know, the answer is obviously no. We can't. I think the turnover rate for the organization right now, I can't quote the number, but I know someone who can. 15%, which actually for a healthcare organization is reasonably good.
Thank you.
So I read in your proposal that you are committing to hiring the most qualified candidate. I believe that's what I read. And I was, I'd like to ask you to address the concerns and at least the concerns that have been reiterated to me time and again by members of the public regarding native preference in hiring and how that, that would come to play in a new combined entity.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. So, again, I think this is one of those items that we've talked about several times here, both in public forums and you know, again, through the ECG process. And I guess in the proposal, it's a statement of fact. You know, we anticipate under any scenario that we move forward, that we will continue to provide the same hiring practices that we currently provide, which is we are committed to being the employer choice and hiring the most qualified candidate for any position. In the event that two candidates are equally qualified, we are legally required to give preference to the native candidate. That is the hiring practice at Search. That has been the hiring practice at Search for many, many, many years, and we don't anticipate that to change. And, in fact, as I think we had a session here with Ms. Myra Munson, that is required by law. How practical it becomes is a matter of academics, I believe. But I think it is the expectation of our patients. It is the expectation of our board. It is the expectation of people's coworkers that in any given position that the most qualified person is the person sitting next to them delivering their care.
Thank you. That makes sense. Of course, you want the most qualified candidate. Do you have any idea how often all things are equal and that comes down to the hiring preference? Or
I don't off the top of my head. I'm sorry. Right. I would just say as a practical matter, it's not very often. In a particular, for any particular position, for the particular set of knowledge-based skills, goals, objectives, qualifications, most candidates are fairly unique. What I can tell you, we are a native-owned organization, and we are very proud of that. And I think that, some positions, the preponderance of qualified applicants may be Alaska Native. In other positions, the preponderance of qualified candidates may not be. But I do believe it is the intention of our board and the intention of our patients that at each and every spot, the most qualified person is the one delivering their care, administering their services.
Thank you. My experience would agree with the statement that everyone is unique, particularly as we looked at 40-some administrator applicants, and there's not a one that was identical to any other one.
No equally qualified candidates?
Some very highly qualified, but no one had equal experience. Bob?
We recently heard that SCH is has and plans on increasing their charges over the last 2 years. It would be about 16% for their services. And one of the points in your presentation that this would improve costs to patients. Could you explain that to me a little bit?
Well, I think, there's various ways in which we believe that would be accommodated. And I think, without regard to this particular proposal, the idea that Dr. Vestola had talked about a little bit about the HRSA, sliding fee scale, and I didn't really want to jump in on Dr. Vestola's parade, but that is something we've been actually trying to extend to Sitka for a couple years in a row now. We've made formal applications and pleas to our HRSA grantees to work with us to extend that. And one of the biggest shortcomings of that extension are community letters of support, which, getting letters directly from community-related interests. And when we did an audit of why we were not successful, this was one of the things. And so in a roundabout way, I think we believe that unifying the community around one potentially one hospital would help us. It would strengthen our proposal to them. I mean, we have the proposal. It's been fine-tuned for 2 years in a row. I think this year we've actually came very, very close to being able to do that. And it gets a little bit more technical from there because of how the particular grant works. But I do think that is one of really the more enticing aspects. This is something that we're going to continue to pursue to do. I think the challenge here in Sitka is on paper, Sitka is a medically overserved community, but it's overserved. You know, 200% of primary care doesn't mean it has all the right health care. And so this idea that we could right size instead of being overserved, we're served, and it would strengthen our application. Getting unified letters of support from various constituencies and not letters of concern, I think, would help as well. I think this idea of across the board pay hikes is somewhat interesting and unique, and I would say it's probably pretty unlikely that we would be able to do or we would want to do something like that. Most PPO agreements, Blue Cross, Aetna, things like that, they would say how much you could raise in a particular year, at least our agreements do. And what we do is we do probably every 2 or 3 years, we do sort of spot checks against our charge masters. And I think, the idea that you can do an across-the-board pay or a cost increase really potentially puts the burden on the patients. This idea that most of our business model, most of our business model was not predicated on getting money from patients. Most of the money we get is under a sliding fee scale, or it's coming from Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. And so the idea that we would raise rates arbitrarily by some number and then pass that, we historically have not been good at that, and that's just not really our business model. So I think the likelihood of that happening is fairly remote. That doesn't mean to say that there aren't other things that we've done have always been right, but I would say I think that's probably the most realistic. And then this idea that, I think for us it's really about expanding the pie and making the pie bigger and not squeezing more out of we're not trying to squeeze more dollars out of the same primary care visits. We're trying to expand the level of services. And the idea is the more patients we get in the door, the more we could expand those services. So it's really, again, is a little bit different business model that is not centered primarily on basically charging as much for the visit we did yesterday, but really this idea that we're growing the business and providing more services, and those services are covered under our existing PPO agreements, under Medicare, under Medicaid, things like that.
Thank you.
What would be your anticipation of what would happen with the Sitka Community Hospital building after your 5-year lease ran out? And then I have a follow-up question after that as well.
I don't actually have any anticipation. I think that would depend on what the quite honestly, I think it's a little bit too speculative for me. I don't have any anticipation if this proposal will move forward or not. I think we are open to any number of things, but it was sort of the real estate is not our primary interest in any potential deal, and I think if it would be a conversation, and maybe that is, Mr. Hunter pointed out, maybe that's something for a future conversation. I think, if the city felt like it was of value to the city, we would be open to just walking away from that. If the city felt like it was a liability, I think we can come to some understanding about how to repurpose it. I think it's, I think the sky's the limit, and hopefully through this series of conversations, we've demonstrated the ability to be an open-minded, decent partner to talk about what the potentials may be, and I don't have any anticipation of what that might be, but I'd be excited to talk about it.
Okay, because, I do have a concern of the city owning a hospital building with no hospital to run in it. Seems a little iffy there. And then the second part of my question then is, would you be looking at a non-compete clause as part of this for that building in the future?
No.
Thank you.
So I've heard from two individuals about a purported past purge of 50% of Search's workforce in Sitka. And I don't remember reading about that in the newspaper or anything, but has there been any large purge of people in the last 5 years that you guys are aware of?
You know, I would imagine what they're referring to is the last purge that I was the purge, the last financial situation that I was here for, you know, which was when I first got here, there were several programs that were shut down. And it was a time in which, you know, I can tell you a little bit about it. I mean, it's been 5 years and I've really tried to, you know, put some of that behind me as best I can. It was fairly traumatic, but walking in the door here at Search, I think in the middle, beginning, you know, 3 months in the fiscal year, we were already about $7 million underwater. First day I got on the job, we took a loan to make payroll. About 3 months later, Congress did 10 or 12% rescission to our compact. And so we had a handful, we have many programs at Search that I would say probably throughout the history of Search that have been great programs, but some of which were very financially unsustainable. And there were whole programs that were shut down. And they were programs that produced very little or no revenue, very difficult to objectively measure efficacy and outcomes. And that isn't to say that they weren't of value, because they were of value, and there are actually some absolutely incredible employees that were let go. Was it 50%? No. And it was nowhere near 50%, but there were real layoffs. And I can tell you to this day, it is something that affects me as a person. It's a very, very difficult circumstance to go through. It's not something I wish upon anybody. It's something that I think I know I take, and everybody I've ever interacted with on a professional will take very seriously.
And we've experienced that as well at the city recently. That's not fun. But I do remember that now that you mentioned that. I think particularly, was it the Bill Brady Healing House, and perhaps Ravensway got pulled back a bit, and a few of the ancillary services had to, but they're back. Some of them are back. Mm-hmm. So,
if I can just comment on that a bit too, because, you know, as a clinician, I would be very sensitive to cuts in services. As painful as those were, and they were very painful internally, they were done with great thought. And there was logic behind them. Search had operated a medevac service for somewhere between 15 and 20 years because there was nobody else in town who was doing it. And we tried to interest a lot of people, and nobody would station a plane here. So we said, heck, we'll do it ourselves. And with Mike Motti, who I know you know well, yeah, we put it together. And we ran it, and it ran. We had a great run. But in the interim, Guardian Flight came into the region. They're bigger than we are. They have a nicer aircraft than we do. Their staff are, you know, have higher credentials, are better trained. The program was no longer necessary. And as difficult as it was, particularly for me, since I was involved with starting it, it got cut. Bill Brady was a very, very painful cut for us. That program had been around, maybe not by that name, but in one form or another since I had arrived in the 80s. But I have to emphasize, you know, there was clinical input on this. We were doing inpatient residential substance abuse treatment, but we weren't doing outpatient treatment or intensive outpatient treatment. It's the corollary of running a hospital without having a clinic. And it was not effective use of very, very limited dollars. The Indian Health Service does not fund substance abuse treatment. I mean, this is stuff that Search does on its own. And we honestly felt that reprogramming those dollars, as painful as it was, into prevention and to treatment at earlier stages rather than waiting until somebody required residential treatment was a better treatment option for our patients. Very difficult, a lot of history to that program, and a lot of people were touched and lives improved by that program, but, you know, it both saved money and we believe improved overall patient care.
Thank you. I didn't connect that instance and those cuts with this, the comments, but that does make sense now. Thank you.